This spotlight is going to be about Sekhmet. Sekhmet is someone that is dear to my heart. You know, I wrote a whole book about her, and she's somebody that I know personally in other realms and my other incarnations. So she is a great friend, and she has been a supporter of everything we are doing in Transcension Gate from the very beginning. So I am so very happy that she agreed to participate for this month with us and to really bring her conscious awareness to support us. So, Sekhmet means she who is powerful, she who is loved by and loves Maat. Maat is the highest truth, divine truth. So, Sekhmet, there's so many stories about her and everything. So, we're gonna look at the conceptual part and we're gonna look at the personal part a little bit as well. Okay? So, Sekhmet represents, in her kind of consciousness sense, courage, compassion, and healing. So that is her true attributes from the higher vibrational place. Courage, compassion, and healing. In the other sort of variations of her energy, she came to represent electromagnetic struggle and violence, and then the resolution of that violence. So that's, you can see, is more of a human overlay on what she actually represents. And also, she represents the pleasure of unique self. Sekhmet is all about uniqueness, like you couldn't get more unique. She herself is unique as a being, and it's also that's part of what she brought here on Earth for the human beings to experience that preciousness and power of the fact that you are the only one like that. That there is no one else that is you. That whichever way you put together your one-time cosmic event. Now, your soul will reincarnate and have different bodies, different personalities, and they all will be unique. So, not only that you are unique as a soul with all those lifetimes and personalities, because only you could come up with that, but each one of the incarnations within whatever simulation you're in is also super unique. So, Sekhmet represents the pleasure, the embodiment of that uniqueness. And of course, the opposite side of it, the pain that comes with being very different, the pain that comes with being able to experience the depths. Kind of like the power of the depths and the pain of the depths. So, Sekhmet is electromagnetic. It's a being that stands for both sides. That's very rare. Most gods out there, or the conceptual kind of representations of a facets of God, they all have polarities. They're usually either feminine or the masculine. Sekhmet kind of has both. She's got very strong electric and at the same time very strong magnetic energies, both. Okay, so as I said, courage, compassion, and healing are the top attributes, with the pleasure of being that unique self. And then the human semi-mutation, it's that electromagnetic struggle, violence, and its resolution. So Sekhmet also has kind of three incarnations, I guess you can say, in Egypt, like three versions of her. So the first one is the original Sekhmet, which is the one that is in my book, The Secret of Sekhmet. This is kind of the story about her as she actually was. She is a six-dimensional being. She is from Sirius, and she is a hybrid of a humanoid Sirian being and the Urma feline. So she's a combination of the two parts. That is kind of a unique experiment, that the way that she was created. Now there are many more humanoid Urma, but when she was comprised at the beginning, that was a very new thing. So when we think of Urma are cats, essentially felines, and they quadrupeds, so they have not a humanoid blueprint, they walk on fours, their spine is horizontal. Humanoid blueprint, the spine is vertical, very different template. So original Sekhmet is a combination of the quadruped feline, Urma, and the vertical bipedal humanoid Sirian. That is different there to the uniqueness of the being, because Most Urma, as we know of Urma, they are actually vertical humanoids with feline components or features or genetics. So they are like the next step after the original blueprint that Sekhmet represented, which was two things that are not put togetherable, that somehow were put together in her. So she kind of like consciousness-wise had access to both forms. In sixth dimension, they were blended enough that she was just unique. There's no way to explain it because our brain goes into, well, how do you combine a quadruped with a vertical biped? You can't. But in a sixth dimension, you can. You just overlay the blueprint and it's not a visual that we can kind of comprehend, but it's a being that can exist within that container. So that being, Sekhmet, came here to Earth from Sirius with the original delegation of the Sirian beings during their first Sirian seeding on Earth about 20,000 BC. So very long time ago. She came here as part of the delegation. She was having her own journey here. She was teaching about what she knew. And one of the main components was helping human beings to see their uniqueness. Because at that time, humans were very blended, very kind of tribal in their understanding of reality and themselves. It was more like we are instead of I am. So that individuation was just beginning for humankind. And that's what Sekhmet represented. She helped that process of individuation to go in the correct direction, in a direction of empowerment instead of separation, isolation, and then blame, war games, and so on. But unfortunately, that did not last very long. And as we know, the fall of consciousness that happened at 10,800 BC, that's the time where the human consciousness went into victimhood. This is where human beings utilized their uniqueness incorrectly. They sort of forgot that they had the power, and instead they twisted all that energy into somebody else has the power and I will worship that somebody god-like figure in order to feel safer. So the authority of that inner power, the sovereignty of who they are, got projected out. So they stopped being sovereign. They essentially allowed themselves to be taking over. Now, good, bad, whatever, it's just, it occurred. When that process was happening and the point for the main shift in frequency, when the consciousness fell because the energy went much further down, so the 3D became much more separated here in two opposites, became very far apart. That happened in 10,800 BC. So that is the time where all Sirian delegation left. The only one that stayed behind was Sekhmet. She didn't have to stay behind. In fact, she actually had to fight and defend her position in the Solar Council, saying that she will stay behind when they were saying, no, our experiment is over. This planet is just choosing to go this other direction and we're non-interference policy here, so we gotta go. And she kind of fell in love with us and she cared so deeply and she decided she's going to stay. She also had to present a lot of argument to the Syrian High Council from the standpoint that, okay, she's not going to obviously be the force, because if the consciousness fell, it would be very easy for her energy to be misinterpreted. It still ended up being misinterpreted, but she tried as much as possible not to have that happen. So she stayed behind. So when the consciousness fell and Sekhmet was here, she could not maintain her body here very well. In the form here on Earth, the form that she took in the third dimension was of a humanoid looking person, so kind of a Sirian body of a humanoid with a mask of a feline, the golden mask that she wore to remind her of who she really is, with the component of her that is a quadruped feline kind of being here but not here. So it was still her together, but almost like she had to split herself into two forms in order to fit. And when the consciousness fell, she could not find that other side of her. So the quadruped feline component of her and the more humanoid component became separated from each other. That caused her enormous pain, because up to that point, she knew that this planet is going in separation. She even studied it. That was like part of her educational component, but she never experienced it to that degree. So that kind of almost drowned her in pain and agony of this intensity of separation for a conscious being that is able to be connected. So that is also what is very much unique about Sekhmet. So she sort of suffered with the humans, the separation, but humans did not have the conscious perspective on it. So it didn't hurt as bad. They didn't have the sensitivity to it. So again, it didn't hurt as bad, even though it did happen and it really did hurt. So all of us, the star seeds that are looking at the human experience from the outside, we felt that pain. We all felt that horrible pain of human separation where their consciousness fell. That's part of the Starseed Initiative. That's part of why we even came here, because we felt the pain, we felt the call, and we wanted to support this specific culture in going back into healing that separation. Sekhmet was pretty much the only individual who has experienced that separation firsthand by staying during the time it was happening while still having the access to all the sensitivity and multidimensional perception. So that means, yeah, it hurt, but it, like, she literally was in the body to experience it. So that was a highly painful experience, and she went through a lot of personal trials and tribulations, almost died, and she was suicidal, and she felt trapped, and she couldn't exit, and at the same time, she cared so much, and she was trying to somehow, through her body, heal them, and she couldn't, and she also went through self-blame phase when she was feeling that it's somehow her fault or she should have prevented it, and then realized that that was actually arrogance, and then she had to cure that within herself. So there was all these layers of everything. So that is something that she finally resolved within herself by 6000 BC. So that means for about 4,500 years, she was in hell and isolated from humans, because she kept herself separate from humans because, well, she didn't want her to be misinterpreted. As I said, she still ended up becoming misinterpreted, because when she came out from her isolation and hiding with her renewed sense of, okay, I figured it out, I've resolved it, I now finally passed that pain that's so unbearable I can't even think, that now I can bear it and I can think and I can do some good here. When she finally came out with that energy, human beings who saw her mistranslated her as God. And because she was so different and still had access to different frequencies, she was seen as, like, all these negative stories about the violence and how she would just eat people and how she drunk herself and, you know, then became violent and all that stuff. None of that ever happened. That's a human story mistranslation. Actually started with one particular pharaoh who wanted to interact with her, and she said no because he was pure ego and just wanted more power. So she was not gonna have any of that. And then he translated this into his story, the way it was presented to the kingdom, that, you know, he went there and she was so violent and everything, but he was so clever that he brought all these barrels of, you know, blood and wine and everything to her. And then she drank all this blood, she drank all this wine, and then she became drunk. And because of it, he saved the kingdom. I mean, you can see how very male ego that is. So obviously none of that happened, but that's the story historically, how Sekhmet got linked to violence and almost like debauchery. And then from there, how she needs to be pacified in order for, you know, goodness come back to Egypt. Total mistranslation of everything. But Syrian High Council, in a sense, warned her that that might happen if she stayed. So she stayed, it did happen. But that was a very small imprint in history when it did happen. Meanwhile, though, she built up a conscious movement. It's a secret school. It's a movement. It's a preservation of the higher knowledge and training, in a sense, for opening up and maintaining the multidimensional frequencies. It's called the Shenu. And again, my whole book, The Secret of Sekhmet, talks about that in every detail, so I'm not going to go into it here. So the Shenu component of sort of like proving that they are at the level to belong in the Shenu was that they could see the other part of Sekhmet. They could see her feline quadruped body, even though physically you cannot see that because you'd have to have a multidimensional vision to see that component. So when that started to happen, she built up enough of her school. She created and initiated the Shenu, and they were the circle that started its work according to the plan, and then she ascended out of here. So that's the true story of Sekhmet and what she endured and how she, in a sense, preserved the human consciousness by creating the Shenu. That's the part that preserved the power imprint and components of what's really meant to happen. So that's that ascension of her and leaving here happened at about 4000 BC. So just before the people came into Egypt that were not really Egyptian, and then the entire pharaoh system essentially restarted us to what we know in human history as ancient Egypt currently. Okay, so her, this is all of that, you can say it's the first incarnation, the true Sekhmet. The second Sekhmet is the Neter, so that's when she became a representation of certain concepts, compassion and healing and courage, of course, but also blended with that mistranslation of violence and some sort of a struggle between two opposites. That's the Neter, the godlike. And then the third incarnation of Sekhmet is not really her, but you can say it's the Shenu. So the concept that she brought in here of that amazing, unique individuality and how we can hold that energy within us and how that actually allows us to truly be sovereign in who we are so that we're never taken over by some external power. That is what Shenu held in their being. This is what the trainings that they took on, and this is the entire energetic, essentially, blueprint that exists on Earth. That is the Shenu morphogenic field, even though the people themselves are secret. You don't see them out there teaching. But the ones of us who have access to it, we are the ones who know that inner truth. And that's also the energy that is put around the planet to support the planetary consciousness of incredible power of individuality and sovereignty. So that's what I'm going to leave you with today about glorious and amazing Sekhmet.